And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Welcome to RBLR Bucks Podcast, your post-storm sunshine and the official countdown crew for everything Tampa Bay Buccaneers related. Forget the gray skies because draft season is heating up and we're turning up the flames right here, right now. Folks, we are just 8 days away from the NFL draft, and I'll tell you this, I can feel electricity in the air. Just a whole lot of talk going on, the rumors, the mocks, the smoke screens. We're going to be cutting through all of it with that signature RBLR fire. So, you know, while the rest of the crew holds it down across the Tampa Bay sports, this show is your front row seat to the war room, to the draft room. Well, I haven't already, but my name is Musab. I am your co-host tonight. And trust me, there is no rain delay when it comes to this draft content. The takes are sizzling. The picks are flying. And I'll tell you this, we got a spicy draft talk tonight for you, as we'll be diving into the world of edge rushers. So, folks, this show is nothing without my trusty co-host. Joining me tonight is the man with takes sharper than a third-round steal, Mr. Carter Brantley. It's good to have you back. What's the good word, my friend?
Yeah, good to be back, man. I missed y'all last week, but I wanted to let Zach Blaine have as much time talking about cornerbacks as he could. And then Zach, of course, departed so that we could talk about edge rushers, yeah, I'm definitely excited to talk about some draft picks and some, you know, a little bit of Bucks news to start out the episode. But yeah, like you said, we're a week away, man. Like, next week is it. You know, next week we're going to be doing a little mock draft at the end of our episode, or it's really going to be the bulk of our episode. So that should be fun. So definitely stick around for that. And if you want to hear about it, definitely hit that like and subscribe button. We'd really appreciate it. You can also give us a follow at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports. Definitely check us out. And so we're going to get right into it. The big news in the NFL this week was Jalen Ramsey. He is has been given permission to sort of request a trade or seek a trade. I don't really know the specifics of it, but basically Jalen Ramsey supposedly on his way out in Miami. The big thing with him, he's probably seeking an extension. So any team that trades for him, it's a little bit similar to the Hassan Reddick situation last year, in that any team that trades for him immediately has to work on an extension, because otherwise they sort of run the risk of him holding out, which, you know, understandable, because otherwise Jalen Ramsey would just be a one-year rental. Like, he's probably getting cut after the season unless he gets a new contract. So it's a bit unlikely he gets dealt to the Bucks, because it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense in terms of extensions and all that stuff. But let's say hypothetically he gets cut by the Dolphins or some weird stuff happens and the Bucks end up with him. How far does corner fall on the draft priority list for you, Musab, if Jalen Ramsey ends up a Buck?
Ooh, just a little bit. I mean, yeah. I feel like he hasn't been too promising. The age is, you know, he's getting older and older. So, unless it's for, you know, chump change, I'm not really that interested in having him. But, you know, what it does for the draft is, I mean, the way I see it is, edge rusher and cornerbacks are the two positions I would be absolutely fine with drafting two people. So it's the same thing. I mean, nothing changes too much. Obviously, I think it will still be a big help, of course, and the whole veteran presence and all that. I mean, how much does that really matter all the time? But, yeah, I mean, I still think, you know, we still got to look into the cornerbacks, because injuries are bound to happen. So, I mean, Jalen Ramsey is not our Lord and Savior in the cornerback room. You know what I'm saying? So it's more than just a one-man job. So it's still something that, you know, we got to look into.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, I think the biggest point that you made that would really – caused me to pause between, you know, before saying that, oh, cornerback, no need. Like, he is old, you know, like he's on the wrong side of 30, which isn't old in human years, but in terms of the NFL, you know, that's getting up there, especially for a position like cornerback that can be, you know, a little bit athletically demanding. You know, cornerbacks don't typically age super well. You know, you don't see a whole lot of 35-year-old cornerbacks out there. There's typically a shift to safety, maybe. You know, we even saw that with Rondé Barber towards the end of his career. So it's just one of those things where, like you said, I'm not super enthused about him getting onto the Bucs roster either, especially under a big expensive contract. But, you know, if he happened to be there, it'd certainly make the defense better. You know, like there's no doubt that he'd be an upgrade over either starting cornerback. But how much better does the defense get? I don't know. You know, maybe significantly so, maybe a little bit. I don't know. What are your thoughts on how much better that Jalen Ramsey would make this Bucs defense? Oh, can't hear you.
Oh, here comes that mute bug.
The mute bug, it gets us all.
Yeah,
it
the mute bug strikes again. But to answer your question, Carter, I feel like, I mean, it'll definitely be, it's hard to measure it, I guess. It'll definitely be a big help for sure, though, I guess.
Right.
I mean, he's still got it, but it's just like, I mean, you know, how much does he have it in the tank?
Right.
You know, how consistent does he plan on being if he were to be on our team? So.
Yeah, if he can stay healthy.
Just a lot of factors. I mean, our DB room already isn't, you know, that healthy either. So it's just, you know, to go that far and get him and then only to have him, you know, be mediocre. I mean, we've seen it with a couple of guys in the past. You know, it just doesn't work out that way. I mean, I don't know if I want to even come up with a comparison, but it's kind of just like, you know, now tell me if this is a bad one, I guess. But the first one that kind of came to my head was like when Julio Jones was on the Buccaneers. It just
The first one that came to my head was Darrell Revis because it was more emotional, you know, and he was here for a season, you know, like it was sort of it's almost like it didn't happen, you know what I mean? Like
exactly, that's my fear. It's going to be like a didn't happen thing with Jalen Ramsey,
right? But there is the possibility that if he does play here, he'll play for all three Florida teams, which is kind of fun. You know, that's kind of a nice little quirk. Yeah, it's definitely kind of an interesting thought to explore Jalen Ramsey on the Bucs. I don't want to compare it to Julio because that might be a little bit harsh because Julio was, you know, it was definitely not Julio Jones of old. And I don't know if Jalen Ramsey is quite there yet, but he's definitely closer to being there than he is in his prime for sure. But let's say hypothetically, because we're just talking this Jalen Ramsey thing to death because it's the offseason and, hey, it's the big news in the NFL this week. But Jamel Dean kind of becomes expendable, ? I don't know. What are your thoughts on Jamel Dean's situation with the Bucs if Jalen Ramsey does indeed end up a Buc? What are your thoughts on where Jamel Dean ends up?
Oof, that's a tough question.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I really don't. Yeah.
It's tough because you can't.
It is, yeah.
You can't really trade him because at that point, if you have Jalen Ramsey and you're the Bucs, no team is going to give up any draft capital to kind of get you out of that situation. You know what I mean? Like where you have two kind of not expensive corners, but you know, Jamel Dean's not cheap, but he's also so it's one of those things where he'd probably have to be cut. So it's tough. You know, I don't know that. I don't know. Like Jalen Ramsey, obviously an upgrade over Jamel Dean, but yeah, like we've been saying, like he's an upgrade and he makes the defense better, but how much better? And so it's tough that Jamel Dean would kind of have to become a casualty because he's been a Buc for life. I think, you know, as much as he's kind of the scapegoat of a lot of this defense's problems, you know, he can, he can play a little bit. He's really good in the run. You know, I don't know. It'd be tough to see Jamel Dean go for sure. What are your thoughts on it, potentially Jamel Dean's legacy as a Buc? just I don't know. It's just kind of an interesting thought exercise. What are your thoughts on that?
I would hate to, you know, get rid of him or have him cut. I mean, yes, he is inconsistent, but he is, I guess, somewhat of a piece that's holding the DB room together. Right. I don't know. There's just, you know, there's so many kind of off the field factors in my head with, you know, even having Ramsey even replace Jamel Dean. I feel like, sure. You know, that's my kind of thing is, and that's not something I, you know, excel in or have ever put so much thought in as the whole kind of money talk and contracts and all that other fun stuff. Absolutely. So,
yeah,
I'm fine with, you know, just running with Dean, but obviously, you know, drafting some guys, getting some talent, maybe some undrafted free agents. I mean, I think the DB room is the only probably, I mean, I feel like a lot of people would say the same thing, which is like, you know, I wouldn't mind kind of just cleaning up the house. Maybe mine is Jamel Dean, of course, and just starting fresh. I mean, you know, if, you know, bringing in new guys, bringing in talent, bringing in competition this offseason, because that's the only thing that I'm just tired of seeing, Carter, is tired of our guys getting burned, and it just, sure, just sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, you know, Todd Bowles' scheme is so zone reliant, right? And he also had to get some exotic looks out there with the blitz packages, which, you know, put some guys in some uncomfortable positions. And, you know, if you've got Jalen Ramsey and, you know, Sauce Gardner or Stingley Jr. from the Texans out there, then sure, that probably holds up. But Jamel Dean, Zion McCollum, they're solid, but they are not, you know, they're not that level. So they it was already kind of they're slightly above average corners at best. And then the scheme kind of brought them lower, you know what I mean? So it's tough. You know, it was definitely tough this past year to watch them, like you say, get burnt quite a bit. They allowed, you know, I think the third most passing yards in the NFL. If you look at EPA per play, it gets a little bit lower. I think they're maybe 22nd in terms of EPA per pass allowed, but that's still not good. You know, that's still not ideal. That's still not what you want. So yeah, it's a difficult thing to think about Jamel Dean and his time as a Buck, because same time, he was also part of the Super Bowl winning team. You know, he was one of him and Carlton Davis. They were the starting corners on that Super Bowl winning team. And obviously JPP and Shaq Barrett were sort of monsters on the edge. So, you know, you were able to give both of them a little bit more support. And I think that they ended up looking a lot better than maybe even their true talent level. So I don't know. It's definitely an interesting thing to think about with Jamel Dean in terms of if he gets cut or traded, if Jalen Ramsey somehow ends up on the Bucks. But looking around the NFL, are there any teams that you look at other than the Bucks maybe that Jalen Ramsey would make the most sense as, you know, just as a landing spot, so to speak? What are some teams that maybe you'd think of that could use Jalen Ramsey right now?
Oof. I mean, I can't think of any specific teams from the top of my head, Carter. You know, anyone who needs an extra DB, I'll probably just leave it at that.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
I got nothing against the guy, but it's just like, you know, how much is it? It just comes down to his, you know, how much is he going to be up for sale, you know?
Yeah.
So if, you know, if a bad team has got the money, by all means, I think they should go for it. But
right,
I just don't think we're in that spot.
Yeah, no, definitely not the Bucks in that spot. And it's tough to be this late in the offseason too, because a lot of teams have made some financial commitments in terms of salary cap. So a lot of their cap is tied up in other areas. So they'll look at Jalen Ramsey and think, well, we can't really afford him right now. You know, we've already committed a bunch of money to a bunch of different contracts. And it's just tough because if this happens earlier in the offseason, maybe like the Patriots, like they don't sign Carlton Davis, you know, to that $20 million a year deal. So it's really interesting how it's just really interesting how it's all played out. And it's kind of a fascinating thing. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely teams that could use a corner, but there's just, I don't know how much of theirs is a fit with the money and in terms of being able to offer him an extension that he probably is going to need. Because like the Bengals, I mean, the Bengals were one of the worst defenses ever last year. So they were awful. They could absolutely use another corner, but yet, you know, they've got their money tied up with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Joe Burrow and Trey Hendrickson. So it's just, it's hard to really find a good fit for the Dolphins and for Jalen Ramsey in terms of making that money work as well as making that fit work. So yeah, it's something to monitor moving forward. But you know, I thought we'd talk some Jalen Ramsey at the beginning of this episode because, you know, he's been one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL for the past few years, and him requesting a trade and him being available on the trade market is definitely something to talk about. But if you're looking for to upgrade your wardrobe, similar to if a team traded for Jalen Ramsey, definitely head to shop.rvlrsports.com. We've got some really great gear for you. Anything Tampa Bay sports related, we've got you covered. And, you know, just head on over there and, you know, check out some stuff. And we've got some really, really great gear there for you. It'd really be a super big help to the podcast. But, you know, it's that time of year, you know, you're in the draws of the off season. So if you're looking to pick yourself up, get yourself a little fresh upgrade, because I know Mr.
A little bit of that closet extension.
Ooh, the closet extension, tying it all together. Closet
extension, oh yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful, Mr. Tariq. And I see you've got the Bucks jersey on. Who are you rocking for us today?
Speaking oh, man, that. You know, I'm throwing it back, man. You know, I don't care what anyone alarm says, clock. But, you know, it's the alarm clock Mike Evans jersey. Just
Absolutely, I
no
love
matter,
it.
No matter how much, you know, people hate on the design, it's just, first of all, it's also extra big on me, so I can just, you know, throw it over a sweatshirt. And
Yeah, just
the memories. Nice. I still remember where I got it from. I think it was like, 2017, Costco.
Hey, yeah. Costco keeps the cost low.
Yeah,
that's kind of a tongue twister there. But, I dig it. I dig it. So if you're trying to get fresh like Musab Tariq, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. And we'll give you a promo code. That's Canon, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type that bad boy in. Get 10% off your entire order. All right. Second half of the episode, we kind of teased it at the beginning. We're going to be talking about edges, you know, edge rushers. We'll go through round one and two, and then round three and four options, as well as some day three options to round it out, just in case we have any new listeners that are unfamiliar with our format. That's the way we do it. So we'll start with our round one / two guys. Mr. Tariq, give us your round one / two edge rusher for the Bucs.
Absolutely. My round one, round two guy is Mr. Jack Sawyer from The Ohio State University. So I got, reports have him like second round. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this guy gets picked in the first round. A lot of good talent in the edge, you know, edge rush room. So this wasn't easy, of course. And, you know, I also want to make sure that, you know, you and I are not picking the same guy either, Carter. But going with, Jack Sawyer, I mean, this guy just absolutely balled out, especially his senior year. I mean, 9 sacks, 3 forced fumbles. And I think most college football fans, you know, who watched that game against Texas, clutch play, all right, against his own. I think him and Quinn Ewers actually used to play together. Anyways, you know, he's actually got a lot of background. I didn't know it either, but apparently he played quarterback in high school. Ooh, yeah. Wow. So, you know, imagine going from quarterback to one of the best edge rushers, you know, in the league. And so he's got, what I will say is, look, I'll summarize it. He's got high football IQ. He's got amazing pass rush moves. I mean, the guy doesn't give up at all. You know, I was watching his tape, even when I was watching a couple of Ohio State games. He is the defense. You know what I'm saying? He is. Clearly, I mean, yes, he plays for Ohio State. Yes, I mean, he's good and all that. But if there's one guy that every single opponent probably had a focus on, it was Jack Sawyer, you know. And this guy's going against the best talent. You know, this guy was balling out against really big teams. So, you know, in summary, I feel like, you know, he's got the motor that doesn't stop. You know, he can stack against the run. He kind of, you know, gives up the edge sometimes. You know, obviously, you know, everyone has a weakness, but he's also pretty good at actually, you know, just doing whatever he can, even if that means just knocking down passes. You know, I saw that a couple of times myself. So,
right.
I guess, yeah, the one thing is, yeah, I guess he's a little bit stiff. I mean, it's only, you know, there's only so much you can do as an edge rusher and when it comes to being the perfect individual. But, you know, I think he's just an absolute bulldog. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what I saw from him against, you know, him facing one-on-one battles with the offensive line, I mean, it was embarrassing to see, you know, how unstoppable he is. So wherever he goes, I think he's a, you know, a three-down kind of guy. I think he's going to make a big difference. And I would say, I mean, I think this would be a dream second-round pick. We go first round corner if we're going him second round. And after that, you know, we can just draft four quarterbacks. It don't matter to me. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, that'd be a victory. No, I'm also pretty high on Jack Sawyer. I'd be interested to see where he ends up, because like you said, he's definitely coming from Ohio State, they run that 4-3. He's more of a defensive end, but you know, they can always switch him to outside linebacker. That's not an issue or anything, but I'd be really curious to see where he ends up, if not in a Bucs uniform. You know, he's like you said, he's definitely really solid against the run, and he's got all those pass rush moves. Jack Sawyer, I mean, my goodness, that play against Texas, like you mentioned, just really, really outstanding stuff. And playing playing quarterback. I did not know that. That's really cool. I love the position versatility guys, because then it's just, you know, then you can kind of, like you said, with the high football IQ thing, you can kind of put your mind in terms of your opponent. You know, like if you're, you know, whoever you're playing against, you can kind of think with them, you know what I mean? Almost try to guess what they're doing. So definitely some good stuff there with Jack Sawyer. Shout out to Zach. He couldn't be with us on the show tonight, but he had James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee. And James Pierce Jr., I mean, my goodness, if you haven't heard of him, he's kind of sleeping under a rock. A lot of people have the Bucks taking him in the first round. And he's just, you know, one of the most athletically gifted people in this draft. So definitely James Pierce Jr., really, really solid option for the Bucks in round one if they decide to go with an edge rusher. But I went with another round one option, Mykel Williams out of Georgia. He's another guy that's kind of a popular Bucks pick. He's another just physical specimen. I hate to describe guys like that, but he just, you know, got to give credit where it's due. He's 6'5", 265. And he's kind of similar to Trayvon Walker a few years ago with Georgia, in that he doesn't have a whole lot of track record in terms of production in college. They also happen to both go to Georgia, but they're both also incredibly athletically gifted, just really, really monstrous out of college. And they're both super young. Mykel Williams, 21 years old by the time the season starts. He's definitely a round one guy. Some mocks have him going earlier than the Bucks. So it's really kind of one of those questionable things whether he even lasts to 19. Unfortunately, him and Jihad Campbell are two really popular Bucks picks, but you know, both of them could be gone theoretically. So you know, definitely a round one, really sold on that. And the good news with Mykel, you know, that you're never going to question his effort either. So he's not only physically gifted, he's also just incredibly high motor, just always effort, really good against the run because of that. So you know, the question with him is just, can he develop more as a pass rusher? Can he refine his pass rushing moves, which is, you know, going to be a theme throughout this episode with our edge rushers, because you know, it only goes downhill with the rest of our picks. And speaking of round 3/round 4 guys, I'll kick us off. I've got Kyle Kennard from South Carolina. He's a bit of a borderline round 3 guy. He might go in the second round because he was really good last year. One of the best pass rushers in college football. Won the Nagurski, was consensus All-American, SEC Defensive Player of the Year. 6'4", 254, really, really athletic, 8.58 RAS score, which is relative athletic score. So I shouldn't say RAS score, that's redundant, but he's one of the fastest edge rushers in this class, and really, really productive in his last season at South Carolina. He started at Georgia Tech. So it's just, the big question is, can he replicate that production? And he's not really great against the rush, because 254, while it's not light, it's definitely not as big like Mykel Williams, 265. You know, he's got the good news is Kyle Kennard could maybe fill out a little bit. And he's very intelligent. He plays the screens really well. He can really read QB contains and stuff like that. He just needs more pass rush moves. But the good news is, like Mykel Williams, really high motor, never going to question his effort. So Kyle Kennard, that's my round 3/round 4 guy. Mr. Tariq, who you got for us?
Love it, Carter. I got Jared Ivey from Ole Miss. And he is what you call, yes, he was, you know, listed as an edge rusher, but he's a versatile defensive lineman. I mean, this guy knows how to play from different alignments, and it's not just his size that allows him to do so. I feel like it allows me to, you know, think that, you know, this guy knows what his role is or his responsibility on every single snap. So big dude, serious length. And I mean, he took off while playing for Ole Miss. I mean, again, you know, he started his career at Georgia Tech, went on over to Ole Miss. Senior year, he was a monster, just absolutely wrecking the backfields. Now, the big strengths are that, I mean, the strength is that he's very strong. I mean, he really is, you know, watching his tape, that first punch, you know, it knocks tackles on skates, seriously. Uses his long arms, he's got a good technique, and the biggest thing I love about it, violent hands. I mean, his hand game is absolutely elite. It doesn't matter what he needs to do, chop, push, pull, you name it, he can do it. So that's the thing that I, you know, if we're getting a guy around these rounds, you know, the expectations are not as high as it would be for someone, you know, you're getting round one or two. And, you know, of course, you know, you always have time. And, you know, I'm not expecting any rookie to just come out, you know, hitting the floor running, but definitely a good kind of, you know, plug-in guy immediately. I feel like he can definitely make some damage. Weaknesses is, you know, a little bit stiff in the hips, just like, you know, Jack Sawyer doesn't, you know, too much bend around the corners. And I guess, you know, even watching it, I mean, it wasn't like he was anything super flashy or anything. You know, he was more those guys who just did whatever they could, you know, with his size. And that's what I love most about him is, you know, was he a sack machine? No, but I mean, he made some damage out there. So wherever he ends up, I feel like the coaches are going to love him for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the good what I really like about Jared Ivey, like you said, the versatility is probably the biggest thing with him. Because, you know, it's nice to have a guy that can line up all over the place, right? Like, it's kind of nice to have that versatile chess piece, so to speak. And Jared Ivey certainly can be that. And Mr. Blaine was mentioning Jordan Birch out of Oregon as his guy as an edge rusher. He's kind of similar to Ivey and Sawyer in that they're more defensive ends, but at the same time, he's definitely got some nice pass rush moves. And he was he had a pretty nice season in Oregon to finish out his career. And he's kind of shooting up some draft boards. He's going to be around three or round four guy. So that's definitely
a big guy. 6'6", 295.
Yeah, huge. Ooh. Huge. Yeah, so it, almost one of those, like, sort of similar to Jared Ivey, can probably line up on a bunch of different spots. You know, maybe he's sort of like a Logan Hall type where maybe he can line up on the edge, but he can also definitely line up on the inside as well. So we're getting to our day three guys, sort of the hidden gems, if you will. Shout out to Mr. Tariq. Kay Robinson is my guy out of Alabama. The big thing with him is just needs to add muscle. He's only a little over 240 at 6'5", so he is thin. Like, that's not great. But he's got great length. There's a lot of speed with him. He's a former safety. So it's an interesting kind of think about him in the 3-4 as sort of a rotation guy. Him and Anthony Nelson are sort of would be kind of similar comps in that he can drop back into coverage and he can play just sort of as at any given time. And he also has some special teams value too, so he can immediately come in and contribute. The problem is just because of his lack of size, he's horrible against the run. So, you know, it's just a big question as to whether or not he can add some pounds, you know, just get a little bigger, because the physicality of the NFL, as much as the SEC, you know, it's where, you know, all the bigger dudes come from. But at the same time, like, the NFL is still a notch above that even. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where Kay Robinson ends up. And if he ends up in a Bucs uniform, it could be sort of like a Jose Ramirez situation when Jose was drafted out of Central Michigan and he kind of bounces between the practice squad and the active roster. So that's my guy. But out of Alabama, Kay Robinson, my apologies if I'm mispronouncing his name. But Mr. Tariq, who you got for your day three guy?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got Elijah Roberts from SMU Southern Methodist University. He's a six-rounder kind of guy. But I'll tell you this, I would not be surprised. You know, like most people, I mean, it's, you know, when you're, you know, being picked this later in the later rounds, I mean, you know, you can be picked a lot earlier than expected or later. But, I mean, he earned his stripes. You know, Miami transfer, went on over to SMU. And, I mean, he became SMU's, you know, top pass rusher. You know, the guy got 17 and a half sacks in two seasons. It's the American League. ACC now.
Yeah, he was the ACC his final season, I think. Yeah.
Okay, man. Good old ACC. So yeah, this guy again, same thing as my other guys. I mean, this guy's got violent hands. You know, he's built like a tank, 6'4", like 275. Again, same thing. Another versatile defensive lineman. He can line up anywhere and still win those reps. What I love the most was I love his bull rush. I mean, it's just absolutely nasty. I mean, he was walking dudes and, like, you know, into their quarterback. So, again, you know, love the effort. But the only thing is that, you know, for his size and as, you know, as nice as it is that, you know, he's got violent hands and he's a big dog, I mean, he's just not the quickest guy, you know, not the best at moving, you know, side to side, you know, struggles when plays, you know, bounce, you know, outside. So, and because of that, you know, sometimes he'll miss his tackle. So he needs to kind of clean up on that technique. And I guess, you know, I'll probably say he depends a little bit more on his power than his speed, which is totally fine. So, at this point, I mean, I feel like, honestly, this guy would be an absolute hidden gem. This is the kind of guy you would squeeze in or, you know, plug in when needed, you know, make some damage, allow the starters to get a little bit of rest, but still hold down the fort. So, again, I mean, I'm really excited about all these guys. And, you know, this is the part I'm always excited about, Carter, is, you know, I save every single one of these, you know, guys that we talk about today and in the past weeks, and then kind of look back and say, okay, where did this guy end up? Or,
right,
you know,
yeah,
maybe absolutely. after a couple of weeks, you know, you'll hear a name. Oh, wow, okay, I remember Carter or Zach picked this guy.
Yeah, you know, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of Zach, he picked Ahmed Hassanein. Oh, good gracious. I'm so sorry, Ahmed. But he's from Egypt. He only started playing football in 2019. I really like this pick. He's a really, really interesting guy. He might be kind of one of those tweeners, sort of like the Logan Halls or the Jared Ivies or the Jordan Birches of the world, sort of a guy that can shift between like defensive end and also edge rush. You know, we'll see where he ends up in terms of position. But definitely an interesting guy just because he's still new to football. So there's maybe a little bit more room for growth. Definitely a really interesting day three pick. Super powerful guy. Like, he's only 6'2", but he's very stout. So he's really good against the run. It's just more about, like everyone else, you know, same old, developing some pass rush moves. So we'll see where he ends up, but definitely a name to monitor, especially late in the draft. He's out of Boise State. So yeah, I mean, Musab, like you mentioned, I'm really going to enjoy looking back at all the guys that we talked about and see where they end up, because, you know, we're rooting for them. You know, they all seem like they've got some interest. Everyone has their own story. You know, everyone has their pros and cons. And it's fun to dream on these guys. You know, it's fun to dream on what they could be, what they could turn into, you know, their ceilings. And if they reach them, obviously, unfortunately, not all of them do, but it's still fun to think about. And, you know, next week we'll be coming at y'all with a mock draft. You know, we'll be talking about a lot of these guys. We'll be talking about some of our own guys, maybe some of the guys that we haven't touched on. It just depends, because Mr. Tariq, I think your last year we did it where you had the mock draft simulator running, and I think we're going to do that again this year. Does that sound good?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just about to ask you a quick question. So, Carter, we actually discussed this last week, me, Tyler, and Zach, and, you know, talking about the corners, and okay. We were saying that, you know, we would be absolutely fine if we got, you know, two corners. I mean, of course, Zach was happy to know about that, sure. Of course, and I'm sure he would be real happy. But I mean, is this do you feel the same way with edge rushers? Would you be open to? So look, we got round one, pick 19. We got a round two, round three, round four. We got a round five. We got a round seven. So is this something that you would think, okay, you know, we get a nasty, you know, pass rusher or in round one or round two, and then maybe round seven, you know, pick up a guy, or are you a little bit more interested in, you know, diversity?
I mean, it's tough, right? Because you want to balance like just taking the best player available, but also not just like drafting too many of one position. So it's fine if they draft two of an edge rusher. It's also cool if they draft two corners, or really two of any position other than maybe quarterback, but or punter or kicker. But you know, pretty much any position. Like, I'd be okay with them drafting two of almost any position, especially on defense. Like, on defense, if they drafted two interior defensive linemen, like, cool, sounds good. You know, like, I'm just, yeah. they just have so much need across the board, really, yeah. On defense. So really, it's any defensive position if they draft two of it, no problem. And you know, with these late day three picks especially, you know, you can get into the sort of, oh, well, we're interested in picking this guy, but we're not going to pick him. We're going to sign you as an undrafted free agent. There's a lot of unspoken agreements. So when you get into the day three, you know, especially in that seventh round, it can almost become, I don't want to say a formality, but it can almost become like, it doesn't matter nearly as much if a guy gets drafted or if they sign him, because, you know, the Bucks can look at the undrafted free agents and also fill some needs there too. I mean, we saw it with Christian Izian a few years ago. Like, he was an undrafted guy, and he's turned into a valuable roster guy. So, you know, the Bucks can draft two edge rushers, and then they can still pick up a corner on undrafted free agents. So, you know, I'm kind of cool either way. I trust Jason White. He's done a great job with the draft for the most part. Obviously, every GM has their misses, but for the most part, he's done a solid job. So I trust him. And, you know, they have a pretty decent roster already. So it's kind of one of those things where they can kind of afford to be aggressive with trying to draft best player as opposed to drafting positional need.
Absolutely. So, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I don't know if that I think that answers your question, but
you answered my question.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm so excited for draft season, man. Like, the draft is going to be so much fun to watch. I'm going to try to organize us a live draft show. We'll have some guests on and stuff like that. And so feel free to stay tuned for that. That'll come. We're just doing round one. We're not sickos. We've got other things to do. So we can't necessarily do three shows in 1 week, but we can do two if it's the NFL draft. So definitely stick around for that. Give us a like, give us a subscriber if you want to follow us at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Bucks. We'd really appreciate it. But we'll see y'all next week, no matter what. And as always, from me and my co-host, Musab, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.